Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. The time is now 6:04 p.m. on the East Coast, 3:04 p.m. on the West Coast. And, wow, today is the 20th of November. We're getting ready for the holiday season. We're getting ready for Thanksgiving. Next Thursday is Thanksgiving, and after that is Black Friday. Oh, what a joy it is to rush out to the stores and buy food and presents and gifts and just do it all up for months and months. When I say months and months, I'm saying like, you know, the holiday season starts around, what, August? I guess they keep pushing it up. Pretty soon we're going to be celebrating Christmas in July, you know. But I think that's already been done. Hey, again, welcome to the show. And tonight we're thankful to be back after a little over a month hiatus. We took some time off just to kind of like take a break because we have been going strong, you guys, for over a year after our departure from the J. King Network. And still, you know, a lot of folks kind of elaborate on that a lot, you know, of us leaving the J. King Network and how it happened and this, that, and the other. But we're still all cool. You know, I'm still cool with Jay. I'm still cool with other people on that network with their own shows. You know, it's just things happen. And sometimes you have to make a change. And, you know, it came sooner than I expected. But it was a good change. And it was a good move. We were offered to come back to the network. I decided to go ahead and start our own and take on the venture, you know, and that's what it's been. It's been a hell of a journey for 1 year. in some days and months. So I'm happy with the decision that we made and or that I made, and we're continuing. So with that being said, I see some folks are popping up on the board, and I'm thankful that you guys are popping up. And real quick, I want to just run down what's going on this evening. What we're going to do, we're going to talk about the verdict of the Kenosha shooting. Kyle Rittenhouse was found not guilty on all counts. All counts. Then after that, before that, we're going to talk about what's happening in the January 6th, the political things that's going on, as you may have heard, if you guys follow Steve Bannon, what he's dealing with, what the commission is coming up with, different things that they're looking at moving this forward. So we're going to talk about that first. Then Kyle Rittenhouse's not guilty verdict. And after that, we're going to talk about murder of Ahmaud Arbery here in Georgia and where it stands, because next week they're going to do final arguments. So let me go ahead and closing arguments, I should say. And welcome back, everyone. I'm so happy to talk to the lady of the house, Miss Janet Davis, is joining us. How you doing, Janet?
Hey. I'm glad to be back, Michael. How are you tonight?
I'm fine. I'm glad to hear your voice. I'm glad that we're back up and running. You know, I miss you guys. You know, it's been a crazy month. It's been really a crazy month. And not just the whole month, but just the past couple of days for me has been crazy, which I told you I lost my ID, been looking around for it, can't find it. Now I got to go through that whole process again. Crazy situation, but I'm glad to have us back, to have you back. Hopefully some of the other co-hosts, I know at the last minute. Yeah, I kind of at the last minute said, hey, look, let's do this, because the reason why is because we're just 1 week, a little short of 1 week before Thanksgiving, and I figured we need to do, you know, a show just before Thanksgiving and talk about these cases, because, wow, this is
a lot been going on.
A lot has been going on, and it's unprecedented when you look at the two cases that are going on. And I already questioned you about what do they both have in common, but I don't want you to share yet, because I want to open up the mic of another co-host. I'm glad to hear him back on the air, Mr. Timon Ship. What's up, my brother?
Hey, Timon.
Hey, Dan, how are you? And Mike, how you doing?
Great. How are you?
I'm good. That's feeding my
all
face.
Right. Feeding your face.
Yeah, I'm feeding my face, too. Gumbo.
I thought I had a little chewing going on. You know? It's kind of hard to stop a chew.
Amen.
So tell me, how's things going in Cali, in beautiful California right about now?
Well, they had a little bit of protest about the case, you know. But other than that, it's good. I mean, we had a few small protests downtown about the verdict. But nothing, they didn't tear up anything.
Right, which is a good thing. But what I want to stay on course. I want to get through the political thing, because Janet had brought to my attention what's happening in these subpoenas that are coming out. Now, you know, for a long time, and this is interesting to me, everybody thought when Donald Trump was president, and, you know, he's going to have a downfall, this is going to happen, you know, that they're going to get him, this and that. We all know that, right? But it never happened. It never happened, guys. Come on now. Let's be real. It never happened. I mean, when they say the term the Teflon Don, they weren't just talking about Gotti. They were talking about Donald Trump, too. I guess if you got money and your name is Don, shit, you Teflon. And he's been Teflon for a long period of time. And as I mentioned to Janet, if you notice, there's a lot of the people who have supported him, what I'm saying in politics, have kind of like went into the shadows. But now they got, what's his name, Steve Bannon. They got him now. There's others. Janet, give us a little information of what you've read or what you know about what has been going on in the investigation of this January 6th situation.
They finally indicted Steve Bannon, and he had to appear before, I guess, the judge and because he was, evading the Congress and didn't want to appear before them, and he was mm-hmm. trying to play that card of executive privilege, and that, you know, he couldn't say anything, but he failed to realize Donald Trump is no longer president, so that executive privilege has gone out of the, you know, it's been thrown out of the window, you know. But anyway, he appeared, and now he's, he made a big spectacle over the fact that he had to come to court and everything, you know, and they released him on his own, you know. But he's like, he's got a little war now going on with Nancy Pelosi, he said, and Joe Biden, because it's all supposed to be political.
Mm-hmm.
And so they got this, you know, the January 5th commission has been indicting, but they had subpoenas go out for a lot of people. At first it was like six different groups, and now I think it's like eight more that they want to have appear before them. And so I guess, you know, they're starting at the low part of the totem pole, and they're working their way up to, you know who, you said the Teflon Gotti, Donald Trump,
okay.
You know. But, you know, so that's really what's been going on. Steve Bannon has been indicted. He did appear, and I guess he's got to go before the commission this week coming up. And, you know, they have, like I said, several others that's been appearing before Congress. The commission.
Okay, so you know the old saying, out of sight, out of mind, right? So there's a lot of people who are staying out of sight.
Well, they're quiet because of that commission. You know, the investigation.
Yeah.
Everybody started getting quiet, and you don't hardly hear from them anymore. You know, not the ones that participated. They're real quiet.
Okay, that's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's Simon. What do you think?
Don's not going nowhere. It ain't over, Mike. It ain't over.
Oh,
they
no, I know it's
started.
Not over. Yeah, but based on what you said, but the out of sight, out of mind. What's your thoughts about them being so quiet?
That has no
meaning.
That has no meaning because what's happening is they're shutting. He's selling the hotel. Because he needs money.
Amen.
They're going after his kids. They're next.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody going to break. See, I mean, we all know who it's going to lead back to. Because he set the whole thing up. He's not the mastermind behind it, though. And even Chris Christie is saying, I got to get away from this dude. Because what's happening, you're destroying the Republican Party. But it's not the Ronald Reagan Republican Party. You're just, you know, this is not that party no more. You got a bunch of, you know, guys that are running around talking about guns and, you know, and talking about somebody taking their freedom and they selling fear and keeping all that crap going. He is on he is really fighting for his life. Now, will they get him? I really hope that they do.
I hope so too.
You know? He got to go.
Well, they issued 10 more subpoenas, and one of them they had was supposed to be for Stephen Miller. And, you know, so he's supposed to be one of the masterminds behind it. And like I said, they already had got Bannon. And who was this other guy, Michael? I can't think of his name. They talked about him all week long saying that they had issued a subpoena for him, but he also did the card of saying, executive
Mark,
privilege.
Mark Meadows.
Mia Meadows. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they're getting him on all fronts. They're getting him with the Southern District of New York is getting him for all kinds of sneaky underhanded things that he has done. and for tax evasion and everything else. And now you got this January 6th commission coming at him. And like you said, Timon, he's selling the hotel for a whole lot of money because he needs it. But he's also got all these sheeple people sending him money still for the, I guess, the Republican base? Or sending Donald Trump the money?
Supposedly, you're right, supposedly for the Republican base, but we know that that money is being rooted to another cause. Which that has already been
paying for his attorney.
Yeah, well, that was proven back when he had his school and everything else. You know, all that money was going elsewhere. We found that out quickly.
Right.
But it's just so funny. It goes back to the term Teflon Don. What is taking so long? And I understand. Don't get me wrong. I understand that you have to have a lot of evidence because we are witnessing this now in courts. Because when you look at the case of Kyle Rittenhouse, you got to have a lot of evidence to prosecute. And we'll get into that in a moment to actually get a conviction. But when you're dealing with, quote-unquote, a Teflon Don, you really have to, as they say, you know, dot your I's and cross your T's.
That's how Merrick Garland does his stuff. Merrick Garland is slow.
Mm-hmm.
That's Merrick Garland. That's why it's taking a long time. That's the way he operates.
Mm-hmm.
He is not going to – remember, he's the guy who did the Oklahoma City bombing.
Right.
He's the same dude. No. It's going to take you a while. He's real close.
Yeah, he doesn't want to rush because that's where you make the mistakes at. So he wants to cross his T's, dot his I's, and make sure everything is up and up. You know, it took a while before he even got Bannon, you know, because they kept saying, what's taking so long? What's taking so long, you know?
Right.
They had been trying to get Bannon for the longest, and they finally got him.
Well, you know, they say, you know, when you get the – well, it's just like in a chess game. You got to work your way through the pawns and deal with the others, like the rook, the bishop, the knights, in order to get to the king and queen. And so I guess that's the case in this. Now, let me switch gears for a moment. The gentleman who did the cartoon, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, and I spoke with Janet earlier about, he thinks you say, racism don't exist anymore. There's no racism. Come on, you guys. This is just blatant.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cartoon of you killing somebody that is your foe in politics. Correct me if I'm wrong. But that's
no,
what
you're right.
Now let's back up a little bit. When Donald Trump would say certain things, they would say, oh, he was just kidding. He was joking. It's in jest. Is everything now just a joke and jest? We're supposed to look at everything as funny? Because that's how they're trying to play this off.
Right.
Right. And, you know, and then McCarthy, sorry, Mike, but McCarthy got up there and for over 8 hours he sat there and just talked about nothing. And he was trying to point a finger at the Democrats always trying to sanction somebody or censor someone in the Republican Party. But they don't just do that. They are, I know when the Me Too movement came around, Al Franken, all he had was a picture of pretending he was getting ready to grab somebody's boobs, and he had to leave. You know?
There you go.
They ran him away. So it's not just they're just picking on the Republican Party. Anybody who's doing something wrong that can pose a threat with the other House of Representatives, it's got to leave.
But these cats ain't going anywhere. They're just being quiet. So very unprofessional on behalf of the Republican Party. Well, unpatriotic, to be honest, because, you know, something like that. I mean, we can agree to disagree on politics, on what – I mean, you're voted in for the people, but when you make it a personal thing,
that's
where you have to draw the line. And this has become personal. Now let's look at the whole thing. Now it takes your eye off of what is really supposed to be going on.
Right.
Now you got the public concentrating on this beef. It's almost like watching a wrestling match. You know a wrestling match that they rehearse it is fake, but this isn't fake. This is real. But you know it's rehearsed and fake in a wrestling match, right?
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes wrestlers really get hurt. I mean, to be honest, what I'm saying is that politicians know what they got into office for, of course. Many say to help the public, to help, I want to be a helpful person, this and the other. But they know there's a lot more to it of what they got into it for.
Right.
It's the power. It's the power, the control of whatever they believe in. And they don't care who they step on. And they got their backers. They don't care who they step on or who they hurt.
Right.
So with that being said, but now it's getting out to the public where you're verbally and image-wise attacking someone to the point of killing. And it's unfortunate that now we're in a society where death is just of course people die every day, but the thought of killing a person, it's just like, oh, so what? Not saying you and me, but or the thought of the joking of killing a person,
right,
is like, oh, he was just kidding. How do you know that? There's people out there killing folks, and they have it. I'm sorry?
Right. But ghosts are planted a seed. And there's too many people that are crazy out there that will take him up on it, you know, by him planting that seed. You know, even his whole family has been saying that they needed to get rid of him in Congress because he was a threat. You know, when your whole family is against you, something is not right.
So how is it that the whole family is against him? And so then, well, I'm going by what you just said.
Yeah,
Janet,
the
you
whole
read
family
get
on TV talking about
his
it.
His whole family said it. But this is before he became a politician. They spoke out after the fact, right? Is that what you're telling
mm-hmm.
me?
Yeah.
Okay, so after he became a politician, now he already got his followers. He already got, you know, his supporters, I should just say. But now they finally speak up and say, oh, well, this is the type of person he was. This is the person we already knew he was. But they knew he was trying to run for power.
Mm-hmm.
Because being a politician, you get power. And I think I've mentioned this on the show before. You know, it's funny how, you know, they use the term life imitates art and vice versa. I look at certain movies where they're like, it's a good movie. It's like, wow, that was funny. Like the one Eddie Murphy did, The Conservative Gent. I think I mentioned this before where this particular politician or senator dies, and just by name recognition, he runs for office and wins. You guys seen the movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't, please
mm-hmm.
do. It's funny, but when you think about it, and when you cut all the comedy out and look at actually what the story's about, that's reality, though, in a sense, of how politics works.
Right.
He gets in there and he realizes this is kind of above his head, and he don't realize all the snakes that are in the pit.
That's right.
And they want him to become a snake, too. But he chooses not to, the hero of the day. But unfortunately, we don't have many heroes in real politics. We have people who turn into snakes. Right?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So, that's what I find interesting. And on the political tip, because I want to change gears, but and I want you guys to chime in on your last thoughts about this. All this silence while this investigation is going on, because there is a lot of silence. And true, Janet, they are sending out subpoenas. So when you subpoena, you're supposed to show up to court. Otherwise, you're in violation, right? We know that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they've been shaking these bushes for a long time. And just a few, you know, pieces of fruit are dropping. But they haven't got to the root yet. How much longer do you think it's going to take to the root?
That's Mayor Garland. That's what Mayor Garland does, though. You got to remember, Mayor Garland is the guy who covered the Oklahoma City bombing. Okay? That's just how he operates. So what you call slow is how Mayor Garland is running. He's running that. He's running the DOJ now. And that's how he operates. So they're gonna take their time. That's why the Republicans are trying to stall, because if they get the right people in there and say they take over the House of Representatives, they can shut this thing down. That's what they're hoping. That way they can be in charge and they can shut down the investigation. That's why they want Merrick Garland to move forward. But everybody knows that if you keep digging, you're going to find that the orange man was behind everything. And that whole thing that they did, where they did the little tour of the – that was part of the setup. That's how those people able to walk in.
And
so if you want to say why it's slow, that's how Merrick Garland works.
Okay.
Don't get them. Slowly but surely, you know, different folks, they're going to take them in. Because they all in on it. I mean, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene can't keep her mouth shut. People show up. And, hey, Matt Gaetz is already fighting another case. His board is insane. They're going
out,
and they hit. Remember, Trump getting hit in Georgia. Trump's getting hit in Washington, D.C., and they going after him in New York, you know, and they getting him in, you know, so he's hit all the way around. Now, they may not put him in jail, but they damn sure going to go up in his pocket. Then, and if they can get him, he'll never run again. They don't care about what they're trying to do is make sure that this cat, a dude like him, never shows up again, ever. You cannot allow this type of ignorance to run wild, Mike. If you do, we in trouble.
Oh, I agree with you. They have to, I mean, and I'm not debating it. The thing is that I'm asking questions. I mean, as a host, I have to ask the questions and get your point of view, and I appreciate that. You know, because the thing is that I have to listen on both sides. If somebody else was to chime in, which probably will later on, and disagree with you, I'll let them voice their opinion. But that's the thing, is that I talk to people every day, and I talk to people who were, as I said, who were like, yeah, you know, Donald Trump's going down, blah, 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 but it's been all this time, so what's taking so long? You just said the investigation takes more time. It's not a slam dunk, as people normally say. You know what I mean?
No, I'm
there
saying
has to be
that this
more
is how Merrick Garland wants it.
That's how he wants it. Right. He's going to operate it differently because it's a different ball game now, since now he's in charge. Remember, he was the nominee to be a Supreme Court justice, right?
Right. But that's just the way he does things. He's a slow dude. He ain't fast.
Right.
So that
and
way,
they
covered,
and Obama,
that's why Barr got in trouble, that after that investigation was done, he went through it so quick and gave his own opinion. That's how they knew he lied.
That's right.
That's also how he told Trump, I can't keep covering for you, bruh. I can't. There's no way I'm going to make Pence go down. You lost. I can't keep selling your lie for you. So all of it. But
so,
you know,
now, before I close up this segment on this topic, because we almost 30 minutes through with it. What do you guys think about the characters? And I do use that kind of loosely, but they are characters. The characters who got their time. What do they call him? The guy who had on the bullhorns and everything. For him to be saying, oh, if I could do it all over again, I apologize, I'm so sorry. All these crying babies now that are coming out the woodwork who are getting, you know, to me, I think they should get more time, personally. But what do you think about all of them and them saying that they were following the directions of, quote-unquote, the president? Many of them said they were following what the president said.
I think that's one of the reasons why the guy with the horns, like you said, is not getting as much time as he should get because he is cooperating. You know, he believed in what they were doing, and they went to the Capitol, and, you know, and now he's facing the consequences behind it. But I know he is probably singing. We don't know everything he's telling, but he's probably singing his head off.
I'm sorry, I'm on hold just a moment. I'll be right back.
Oh, yeah. So, Timon, what do you think about the guy that had the horns and the paint all over his face? You know, do you feel he's cooperating and telling them everything
that he
knows?
4 years. He's not going to do all the 4 years. Remember, another reason is, see, a lot of these people are not murderers. They don't even have records. That's why they're not getting a lot of time. They don't have a record.
That's right.
So if you're connected to the Proud Boys and all that, then they're going to get you.
Right.
And the
I
white
think
woman
that's
they got
really
laid along who was in real estate, she doesn't have a crime. She's never committed a crime either. So they're not going to fill your jail cell. And trust me, she paid money for a good lawyer. She paid good money for a good lawyer. So that's how she got away with it. Now, your average person, they ain't getting away with that. But because lone girl got some money, she got away with it.
That's right.
But, you know, everybody's not, you know, going to be able to get away with that.
Right. I don't know if people continue and said that, you know, some of the people should have been getting more time. But like you just said, first offense, and if you've never been in trouble before, you know, they got caught up in the moment, you know, because Trump said go march to the Capitol. And then he went home to watch him on TV. He said, I'll be with you. He was with them all right.
Yeah.
You know.
And so, you know, it's just like the whole thing with the Rittenhouse thing.
That was sad.
I work at Juvie. Right. I work at Juvie. And here it is. I'm with kids who actually committed murder.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And they tell me, this dude killed people on national TV.
Let's
go over that, the Rittenhouse case, because that's what I wanted to do, a segue into that conversation of let's go back here and just first go over the facts. The fact of the matter is that Kyle Rittenhouse was 17 years old. Kyle Rittenhouse crossed state line for a protest. And here's something that I said to Janet. A lot of people forget that these two major cases that are going on right now, which is, well, it's over with now with Rittenhouse, but the Ahmaud Arbery case, was over the shooting of two different black men in two different states.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind that the Kenosha shooting was due to the fact of a police officer shooting a black man 7 times. But that black man lived, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm going to get into the gist of what I'm trying to say in a minute. But so there was, whatever you want to call it, rioting, protesting, because I believe a lot of times protesting or demonstrating or rioting, I think most folks start off protesting in a lot of cases lately. And then later on at the night or in the night is when the riots start. Keep that in mind. So, but Kyle Rittenhouse crossed state lines. He had a weapon that he could not buy in his home state at 17. He had a friend of his, whose last name was Black, ironically, buy the weapon for him. That was in testimony, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he crossed the state line. He supposedly protecting a car dealership which, according to some reports, that the cars weren't even there. Most of them were gone. The ones of value were moved because these mm-hmm. people thought of him. He didn't know the owners. He didn't. He was not friends with the owners of the car dealership, never met them before, didn't know them. But he goes there to protect that property. So the question I have, right, emergency medical technician. He goes under
which
the guy,
not.
Which he was not, right. He worked, or I won't say worked, he was kind of like a, as you see, like with what is the term when you ride with the Explorer, at least in yeah, well, in California, you could, as a kid, you can be what they call, you know, the explorers, where you could ride with an officer, you know, on small, you know, things of this and that and the other, experience a little bit, you know. ROTC, you know, you're not really in the military per se, but you're training in a sense, right? So he does that. But he's out on the street saying that he is an EMT. So we know what the verdict came up, which he was found not guilty of any crime whatsoever, but he committed crimes up to the point to where he killed somebody. He killed two people. He maimed a person. So with all that being said, of the laws that he did break and the lies that he did tell, it kind of boggles my mind of where the message that it tells young people. Because for me, when I've listened to the testimony and when I listened to the trial, and trust me, even when I was at work, I had my earpiece in, I'm listening to all this. This is a kid who actually lived out his favorite or one of his favorite video games in real life and got away of murder. Murder is murder. When you take a life, that's murder. Now, according to the jury, they found him not guilty because they call it self-defense. When we roll the tape back and look at what happened to Trayvon Martin, he was murdered because someone said it was self-defense. But that person was told, don't approach him.
Mm-hmm.
So why did Kyle Rittenhouse go at 17 into Kenosha? Don't approach a riot or a protest. The police tell you to go home, right?
Yeah, he was seen pointing guns at, his gun at people, and that's where the problem came in at, you know. You're going to go around and be pointing an AR-15 at people, you know. And then when one person said, you're the one that pointed the gun at me, he said, yeah, I did. Like, you know, sarcastically, you know. And
but
then
Jerry,
when he said he was toe-to-toe with the guy, he wasn't toe-to-toe with the guy. When he shot that guy, the first guy, he shot him four times, he was not toe-to-toe.
No, but here's my point. Allegedly, you went to protect property. Correct? That's what you did. You went to protect a car dealership through your friend. You guys are going to protect a car dealership. Keep in mind, I just said, he didn't know the owners of the place. The owners didn't know him. So how come his ass didn't stay on the property of the dealership? Why is he blocks down the street? Because, see, I remember the riots after the Rodney King verdict. The Asians in L.A., they didn't walk off of their property. They stood right there in front of their businesses because that's what they said. We're going to protect our business. So how is Kyle Rittenhouse all the way down the street, out the parking lot, out of the, you know, protecting something? He has nothing to do with it. You volunteering? Then stay where you're supposed to be. This is what bothers me about this whole thing.
What bothered me is the judge taken away some of the things that could have proved that he was guilty, but he took it away. He didn't want nobody to talk about his age, going across the line with a gun, you know. Didn't want nobody to say that the gun was like an assault weapon, which it really was. It was an AR-15 with hollow point bullets that rip you apart. So when he shot the first guy, he shot him in the stomach, in the bottom part of his stomach area, and the guy was couldn't go nowhere. And he shot him three more times.
Right. They said that it had incapacitated him where it shattered his pelvic bone, I think it was. So he could not move because the way he fell, according to the video, the way he fell was that he couldn't even stand. So he couldn't go anywhere. He could not. He was immobile at that point. He couldn't stand
up. That's right.
Right. But that was definitely a fact. All right, so, and like you said, four times, all right. And then the fact that he went around the vehicle and then, though he had ways to escape, other ways to escape. Now, for you people who might be listening to the show and may disagree or agree, you know, I mean, you're welcome to go into the chat room and post your questions or comments, and I will read them on the air. If you're listening, if you want to call in, you can call in to the show and talk to us live. The number is 516. Hold on, my screen is refreshing. I accidentally hit the refresh on it. But the number is 516-531-9861. But when you look at the whole thing, which Janet just said, the judge did not allow certain testimony or certain fact into it because, according to the judge, it would have pretty much prejudiced the jury, which even in the next trial that we're going to talk about, they had to talk about certain clips of the video and this and any other to be allowed because it could prejudice, you know, the jury. But the fact still remains. This is a 17-year-old kid crossing state lines where legally he could not own that gun in his state where he lived. Now, he has relatives in Kenosha. His friend bought the gun for him. He did not purchase the gun. Right?
Right.
He didn't go to that store and buy that gun.
And his 19-year-old friend purchased it.
Right. And, you know, I've mentioned this before on other shows that we've had where I don't understand these my first rifle retailers that kids as young as 7, 8, 9 years old can have a gun, but they say, oh, it's for hunting. A gun can be used for any damn thing.
That's right.
Oh, it's a hunting rifle. A gun can be used for anything. It still shoots a damn bullet. It's meant to kill.
But who hunts with an AR-15?
Good point.
Mike, this whole thing is just, you know, I mean, like I said, I work at juvenile hall. I work with kids who have actually committed murder. Okay, or just if you were there with the shooting, they doing time right now. They still in jail. This boy is found. You know, they find him that, you know, he's not guilty. You know, I mean, and you forgot to mention that Ricky Schroeder put up $2 million. He had the best lawyers in town. So, you know, it's amazing that he just, you know, got away with what he got away with. They were putting money up to save this kid. You got Congress talking about they want to hire him for the summer. They want to give him a job.
And look, the thing is, you said Ricky Schroeder. No, let's look at all the other individuals, not just the Proud Boys. A bunch of others have raised money. You can go on social media and find out that he had a lot of financial backing and will still get more because, of course, he ain't working at the moment.
Well, they didn't hook his mama up, too. And she's there. Why ain't he going to jail? And this is what I'm talking about. They don't understand. This is a slap in the face to our justice system that this white boy is walking. They're already finding out, like, hey, man, if you're going to let this cat go, then what you doing?
Now, here's the stuff that I'm going to throw at you.
You need more police on the street, right? You said you need more police on the street, right? You said we don't want to defund the police. Well, guess what? You ain't got to worry about defunding them. You letting cats go.
But here's the thing, though.
He ain't killed no black folks, but he committed murder. And you calling
it
self-defense.
But here, I know, and you point. Here's the thing that got me the other day, and I want you guys to think about this. As I said, the two major cases that are going on, well, one just ended Friday, that are going on right now, is the Rittenhouse case. The riots or protesting or the whatever you want to call it came about of the shooting of a black individual by a police officer. He was shot, what, 6-7 times? And he lived.
Yeah, for walking
through. Okay, now, hold on. Then Ahmaud Arbery hears three, and keep in mind the similarity
to
regular citizens. Just follow me here. Kyle Rittenhouse crosses state lines, kills two white guys, maims another white guy. Because he's allegedly an EMT and he's protecting property. But where he shoots these guys are way off or good. The second one, I should say, or the next two were away from the first shooting. All right. Then you look at what's happening in Georgia, which we're going to get to that in Brunswick. Here's three white men who shoots and kill. And keep in mind, this person is unarmed. But what a person brought to my attention, which I found interesting, was the fact that the shooting of these three white individuals happened in the riot or the protest due to the fact of a black person being shot. The person said, hold on a minute. This person said, well, what makes you think that they would make him not guilty? Because those white guys were defending or they were protesting or rioting, whatever you want to call it, of the shooting of a black man. And that hit me like, wow, that's an interesting thought. I mean, I know some folks would be like, oh, man, you're going way off board, Mike. But think about it. These white guys, not black folks, were out there protesting. I can't say they were rioting, because keep in mind the judge said they cannot be called victims. The judge said they were rioters and protesters.
And that's
not
why
victims.
He did what he did, Mike. That's why he got off.
Mm-hmm. But now think about the thought process here. Like I said, a friend of mine said, by them protesting the shooting, them being white, protesting the shooting of a black man, what made you think he wasn't going to get off? Now, it said, now, if you flip the script, had it been the shooting of a white man? And I'm like, that's an interesting thought.
Well, I think, but Mike, you got to remember, Emmett Till had white cats out there protesting for him.
But you follow what I'm saying. These two white men died. This one white man lost his bicep because they were out protesting the shooting of a black man.
Right.
Right? So what's your thoughts on that as far as does that play a role because they were protesting? Because that's what that person was telling me, is that the fact that it's almost like, okay, I'm just going to put it out there. It's almost like, nigga lover. You heard that term, right?
Like I said, it goes to the same thing. We had the Emmett Till thing. We had white people marching for Martin Luther King. We had white people marching with Malcolm X. But the thing
is, you
can call me a nigga lover all you want. You can call me a nigga lover. But what stands to right is the fact that the judge took out those things that you said and the way that judge attitude was, you know, that boy didn't get what he should have got. Like I said, he still should be doing some time. I'm not saying you throw, you give him life in prison, but that dude should have went to jail. He should be in prison at least doing 10, 15 years.
He
for
should,
what he
right.
did.
And I do agree. I do agree. He should be because he broke the laws. I mean, had he not broke the first law, this night would have never happened. Had he not...
Well, I'll
tell
you this too, Mike. The fact that he was able to walk toward the police with the gun wrapped around his head, and he had just shot people, and he was able to go all the way home, and they did not arrest him till the next day?
That's sad.
Okay.
Yeah.
If there'd been a... Now, mind you, they just had a shooting. You got the tank. You got all this, these people, SWAT team, everybody showing up, right? All these guys are showing up. Here there's a white boy walking towards you with a gun strapped around his neck.
Yeah.
And y'all didn't mess with it. Let the boy go home. Enjoy his day.
And
you
know what's
no
so crazy?
When they had what's the white kid that killed the nine people in the church?
Oh, yeah, Dylan Rook.
And they took him out to eat?
Yeah.
Took him to Burger King and
got
him a Whopper.
Yeah, because he was hungry.
Yeah.
And
But what I'm saying is that you got a great point there. See, and this is what's showing us, and Janet, is like I said, I want to go into all this because it's showing us how we always known that the judicial system is so screwed up, but now it's becoming so blatant.
And to the point of even
the juries are being swayed in certain ways because just like you said, and now Cotton is saying, of what a judge allows and won't allow. And you got to kind of question that. Because
did you remember when they even had the MAGA song on his cell phone?
Oh yeah, the judge. Yeah.
You knew it. They had the MAGA song on the, but you know what, Mike? If you sell fear, which they've been selling white folks for years. And we were talking, I was talking about this on another podcast, that fear sells.
You know,
they're selling these people to believe in something that they think is going to come. They sold them on immigration. They're coming across the border and they're taking your job. Oh, they're going to do this. Oh, they're running up this bill. Oh, they're telling them now, hey, you know, Obamacare ain't no good. But if you ask them, well, when Trump said, well, hey, where is, y'all got a new health plan? Yeah, I'll be here in 2 weeks. Yeah, he'll be here in a month. It never showed up because they're the party of no. They've been selling these folks, and it's amazing, Mike, for over 100 years, white folks have been voting Republican, voting for something that does not stand for them. They're voting for something, a party that doesn't have them in mind. They don't even meet what they need.
Mm-mm.
And Lyndon B. Johnson stated, if you can get that white boy to believe that he's better than, and as he used it, that nigger, you can pick his pocket. And they've been getting their pocket picked for years. And hey, all that they can change the laws, they can do all that they're doing. It's still built on fear, built on something. That me and you, Mike and Jen, we didn't create racism.
No, we didn't.
They did. And now they're pissed because somebody didn't figure out that what their game is. And it's your game is not fair.
Mm-mm.
Your game is not fair, and you don't want nobody. That's why they're talking about, critical race theory. Critical race theory is taught in law school.
There's no high school
in the country.
No.
Talking to law school. Can't find nobody teaching that.
And they're talking about burning books.
And what did that governor do? The governor of Virginia won that because that's what he sold them on. Ooh, that's they're coming to get your kids, and it's going to be all about race. Knowing damn well that's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
But what do white folks do? Especially country white folks. They bought it.
They voted them right on in.
And let me say this, Mike. That Aubrey case, the white prosecutor, she got home, boy. Because she said,
big time.
Was he a threat to you? Was he carrying a gun? Was he running away from you? Yes, he was. I mean, he went, yes. You done, boy. He's done.
Well, let me chime in on that because, to finish off on the Rittenhouse case, there was a spokesperson for the Rittenhouse family, and he said that this should be a learning process about, you know, racism. There's no racism and this and that had nothing to do with race. I kind of like differ with it because, like I said, I have to kind of like think about what that person said. These were people out protesting the shooting of a black man who survived. And in fact, TMZ, which I caught a glimpse of it, interviewed of the gentleman who was shot by the officers. And after the verdict, you guys need to take a look at it. I'm going to go back and take a look at it. I just got a glimpse of it and didn't get a chance to finish looking at it. But message does that send to young kids now as far as protecting themselves, as far as able to carry a weapon? Keep in mind, this is a generation of, you know, Call of Duty and all these damn video games, which is all violence. Everything on television now is violent. Everything.
Right.
Even, I mean, you can't have a TV show without violence. Some folks might say, no, Michael, you're wrong. You're a damn lie. Your biggest hit TV shows are violence. Even your shows that are supposed to be reality shows where, you know, the housewives and this and that and the other, they got to fight every now and then. Otherwise, people won't watch. They got to see something.
Well, conflict sells.
So, right, conflict. Thank you. Conflict sells.
Conflict sells.
Exactly. And that's the type of world we live in now.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's going to justify the conflicts and the violence. We're trying to justify it.
Right.
So with that, we're going to switch gears from the verdict because it stands. You can't charge this boy again. Well, now he's a man.
But
can't charge
him.
They can't go criminal. They can go civil. Yeah, the family, I'm pretty sure they've already thought about that, and they're probably already jumped on that as far as civil trial because, you know, that's what they did with O.J. And with O.J., they hit the max on him and went over the maximum penalty dollar-wise. Y'all didn't realize that. Some of y'all did, but some folks didn't. I think in California it was like 30-something million. They went 33 million. They went above and beyond. But that's cool. It's just money. But they're going to go with the civil trial and try to get some money out of them. And then in a civil trial, when it comes to money, it could be years, it could be decades, and you won't see a dime. That's a fact.
But then anything you get, they can take from you, just like they did with O.J. And that's a fact.
But the only thing they can't take from O.J., but no, they cannot take O.J.'s pension. See, something, and I think there's a clause there, and I think Timon, you ought to know that. I think there's something in the NFL that where when a player gets their pension, I think it's pension or something.
Yeah, it's the NFL. $25,000 a month, and whatever it goes up. Cost of living too. So every year it'll go up to even more. Also,
and they cannot
take it. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They can't touch it at all.
No, they can't touch it, but they got anything else.
Well, but the one thing about O.J., Janet, you know one thing about O.J.? All O.J. had to do, he won the biggest crime of the century, is go sit his ass down.
And be quiet. Mm-hmm.
That's all they do. You won, bro. And it was a black man that got you off. A black man got you off. You paid the money. You got off. Now go sit down. No. His ego wouldn't let him do that. Got him off.
Well,
okay.
Fortunately for OJ, he's out.
Okay, he's out now. But what I'm saying, Mike, he should have never went to jail.
That's
right.
He
didn't have to go to jail. His ego got him in trouble.
Yeah,
he put his brothers who helped him do that, his brothers that helped him do it, they didn't have to go to jail. All OJ had to do was go sit his butt down. I ain't got no sympathy for OJ because that was a dumb move. You can go get another trophy, mate. You won the crime of the century.
They're
still talking about OJ today. They ain't going to go write a book if I would have did it. What is wrong with you? That's so stupid.
Yes,
come
it
on,
was.
Man. Your ego that big?
I think
down.
That
go
somebody. But you know what, though? But hold tight for a minute. You know, OJ was, of course, we all know, he was a hell of an athlete, a Hall of Fame football player, got into trouble. But I don't think OJ had really good common sense because it's definitely shown of what he did during and afterwards. As you said, he went to try to, you know, reclaim what he claimed was his. Got in trouble, and what they did, they came back on his ass and tried to get him for the murders. If you think about that, and everybody has said this, the time that they gave OJ for the robbery was what they wanted to do in the first place for the murders, right? They wanted him to rot in jail.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's what he did. Fortunately,
right,
he was able to get out.
That's what I'm saying. You didn't have to do any time.
Right.
But since you're hard-headed and you ain't going to go sit your ass down, tell you what.
And be quiet.
And be quiet. Since you're not going to do that, I'm going to give your ass 9 years.
Obviously, OJ never seen the movie The Godfather. Hey, obviously, he'd never seen the movie The Godfather. Michael Corleone knew to get his ass out of the country for a while and shut the fuck up.
Right.
Excuse my language, but you know what I'm saying? He obviously never watched that movie. You disappear. Shut up. Don't say anything. You know, a lot of folks, I mean, even though you say you didn't do it, a lot of folks feel like you do. The moment you sneeze, they're going to hear it, no matter where you're at. And OJ sneezed too much, went out there in the public, committed a crime of stealing or robbery. And then what they did, they came back on him and gave him or sentenced him pretty much the same time that he would have got for the murders.
For the murders he did. If they got for the murders, Mike, he did way more than 9 years.
Right.
True enough, yeah. But I'm just saying that we're at OJ's age.
It was a double murder.
Okay.
It was a double murder.
Yeah.
Yeah, they gave him more than that, but I understand your point. I get your point.
Yeah. They were going to try to give him the max for anything try to make up for whatever he would have got for the murders. True enough, it would not have equaled. I agree with you on that. But just to get him behind bars was satisfactory to him and tarnish him forever, tarnish his image and everything forever. You know, we finally got him behind bars.
Yeah, but he got tarnished because of, like Tyman said, he could have kept his mouth shut and set his tail down, but he didn't want to do it.
Right. So let's move forward, you guys, because there's a few more things I definitely want to touch on. I definitely want to touch on the holiday season. The time is now 7:06 p.m. on the East Coast. That would be 4:06 on the West Coast. And thank you for you guys who are listening to the TMGS, the Michael Gaye Show, returning after a little over a month hiatus. I had to take a break because thanks to all the co-hosts that have been here on the network, unfortunately, all of them were not able to make it. I felt like we needed some time off and take some rest because I'm just so appreciative of all the effort and all the time that everyone has put into it. So,
You know, I'm still working my ass off to get us live streaming. I've been saying it for a while,
right.
But it's soon. But you know, things take time and money. Wish I had some of that.
Well, hey,
OJ,
Mike, I have an event to go to, so I can't do another hour with
I
you guys. So yeah, I have to have an event to go to. But yeah, it's been great. If you guys are going to be doing it again next Saturday, hey, I'll dial in.
Okay. Well, before I let you go, though, Simon, Thanksgiving is coming. So what are the holidays, or what is Thanksgiving? Because I'm going to do each holiday. I don't want to put them all together. But what's Thanksgiving for you? What does it mean to you? Because I want to get into that after Thanksgiving next Saturday.
Well, for me, Mike, I don't really get into the celebration because I always got to work. You know,
okay.
This is a regular day for me. I mean, I've been working for probation for over 30 years. I've worked pretty every holiday. I'm off Thursday. I'm off Friday, Saturday. And, you know, my family lives in Denver. And if I ain't really, you know, if I ain't really doing anything, you know, unless I, you know, go hang out with them or something, I don't. You know, like, so tomorrow, so come Thanksgiving, it's a regular day for me. I don't, you know, I get the, you know, the significance of it and, you know, being with family, but shoot, you know, I think I'm just, you know, happy for health and everything. It's not the same once you become an adult. I know if you got a big family or where they do it, you know, even my girl said, hey, what are you doing? I said, hey, I got to work. And which I do. You know, I told her I'll come by the next day and get some leftovers.
Okay.
That's it. You know, and Christmas comes this year on a Saturday, so I will be off. But, you know, I don't think that's something that, you know, that's no huge celebration. I ain't got no kids, so I ain't going to be passing out no gifts. And last time I tried to buy off, I got over 40 nieces and nephews. Last time I tried to do that, man, I almost had to take out a loan to buy a gift for everybody. So, you know, and I still don't know all their names, but they call me Uncle Tommy and Uncle Tommy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty much for me, man. It's great, but, hey, I'd probably rather be sitting somewhere having me a margarita.
Okay, I understand that. Hey, my brother, look, well, more than likely we probably won't holler at you. Of course, we won't until next Saturday on the show. I'm debating if I'm going to do a show next Saturday, maybe take that off.
Okay.
But, you know, me, I just do things, you know, whatever hits me, whatever, you know, the spirit moves me to do, that's what I really try to do. So if I don't talk to you before Thanksgiving, man, enjoy your day. And God bless you. Thank you.
Well, you guys do the same, man. God bless you. And you guys have a wonderful Thanksgiving. And enjoy yourself. Be safe. And yeah, and to let you know, I got my booster, Janet. I got my booster.
I got my booster too. Yeah.
There we go.
But I got sick from it.
You ain't in no hospital though, Janet. They said people will get a little queasy, but you ain't in the hospital. And that's a beautiful thing.
No.
That's all right.
I'm proud.
I don't know why, but when you said booster, I was thinking of Thanksgiving. I was remembering when I had to have a booster seat to get to the table. Because, you know, you had the kids' table and the adult table, so I had to have a booster seat. But go ahead. I'm sorry. It's just
can get a shot now. Now it's not just for people over a certain age. They said everybody now can get that booster.
Okay.
You know, yeah. Well, all right, guys. I'll let you go. Y'all have a good one.
You take care.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
God bless you. Love you. Peace.
God bless you. Peace.
God bless you.
All right. Want to thank co-host Timon Shipp, comedian, author, actor. Just a blessing to have him join us each and every Saturday. And his input and his experience, as he shared with you, that he works with you know, juveniles in the court system, jails. And I'm sure, you know, you know, they say you have to be a special person to work as a police officer But you got to be a special or gifted person to work with juvenile defendants. And
And a lot of patience, not just patience.
When I say a special person, that's what I mean. You have to have a lot of patience. You have to be able to have a lot of patience. You got to have a lot of you can't be just on edge all the time, you know. And he shares a lot of great stories and a lot of great information of, you know, what he goes through in his daily routine at work. Imagine having a job like that where you're dealing with troubled teens and trying to help them out and everything. And sometimes you're successful with them and sometimes not, you know, unfortunately.
Right.
But, you know, fortunately, Timon has been doing this for, what he said, 30 years. There's some folks who give up in 30 days. You know, some folks will stop.
Very, very busy guy to be able to do all the things that he does as far as being an actor, a writer,
an actor, a writer, a comedian, and still, you know, find time to, you know, to, well, basically give all his energy to kids. You know,
right.
when you pick a field that deals with kids, adolescents, and trying to get them on the right path and everything, you know, that's something. You can go to school for a lot of things and study and never get a career in it. Think about that. I know that, in fact, Janet, we had a guest on who talked about, I believe there was a person we had on a few years back about, you know, being a mortician and to somewhere. I mentioned that, and that there were folks who would go to school, read the books and everything, but when it came down to actually doing the physical part, they dropped out of school because it was too much. I knew a woman who was a forensic photographer. What was her job? She would go to the crime scenes. All she had to do was take pictures, and she said it would give her nightmares.
Yes, definitely.
She didn't have to witness the crime as it was happening, but she said there was times she would take photos, and those photos would stick in her mind. And then you know how your mind can work, and in your sleep, you're actually visualizing what may have happened. You know what I mean? In real time in your mind. And she said that would just freak her out where she had to quit it. She said it was just breaking her down. She said she said, I just couldn't do it anymore. Keep in mind, she went to school for this.
Right, but some of the crime scenes probably were so graphic that you can tell just looking what probably transpired, you know?
Yeah, but when she said that, you know, she could stomach it. She said, but the thing is that the nightmares would make it, because, you know, dreams and nightmares are different. But the nightmares would make it so realistic to her that she would wake up in a sweat, you know, like she was actually there when it happened. And I know that feeling of, I mean, I don't know if any of you guys, which I'm going to stay on point of what the schedule is, because now the time is 7:15. But I've had times where I woke up in the middle of a nightmare and be like, ooh, that seemed too real. You know what I mean? That happens to many of us.
Mm-hmm.
It really does.
Right.
You ever had a dream that you fell off a building? Ever had a dream where you were, or a nightmare, I should say, where you're about to get shot and wake up, you know? Feels too
real. I've had dreams where I was fighting Michael, and I ended up fighting my husband because the dream, it made it even more real, to the point the more he tried to hold me to keep me from hitting him, the more I fought. And so some dreams can be just that graphic to the point where you live it out unintentionally.
Yeah.
But you do. Well,
it happens. All right, so let's change gears here. Wow. Here in Georgia, for any of you who are listening, or all of you that are listening, I'm pretty sure there's folks out there listening, the Ahmaud Arbery case here in Brunswick, Georgia. If you don't know the story, this young man was jogging in a community, which is, they say, majority white in this particular neighborhood. Well, Brunswick is a little town in Glynn County, Georgia. Glynn County, Georgia is more southeast of Atlanta. I've been there. There's a training facility there for the CIA, Homeland Security. Many agencies train down there, and I've seen their training field. I've watched them practice because an ex of mine, her son, was actually there training. And we went down one weekend during his graduation. He showed us around. And it's an amazing campus. It really is, to see, you know, the different scenarios. They got an old airplane there in case of a hijacking. They got school buses and stuff like that. I mean, the whole campus is just, you know, it's wild to witness.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, so the case now is the shooting of Ahmaud Arbery, who was jogging in a neighborhood. There are videos showing him going into a home that was under construction. Allegedly, there was some robberies, they say there was some robberies in the neighborhood, and they looked at him being a suspect. Okay. Unfortunately, he was running down the street one day, and an individual said, "There's that guy that's on the video." And the McMichaels, which is a father and son, jumped into their vehicle and went after Mr. Arbery. And I'm sharing this for the folks who don't know the story, because it amazes me that there's a lot of young folks that I've talked to, and they say, "Oh, I don't know about that." You don't know. And I live in Atlanta, and I'm like, okay, because it pops up on the television in my break room on my job, and they're like, "What are they talking about? What's that about?" I'm like, "You don't know about this?" So anyway, unfortunately, they corner this young man, and the son, Mick Michaels, is in the vehicle. He pulls out his shotgun. He claims he wants us to talk to him and everything. The father is in the winds up in the bed of the truck. He has a firearm also. But anyway, gunshots ring out, and Ahmaud Arbery is dead. So this is where we're at now. The case continues. They're trying to say he was a suspicious person in the neighborhood. Never had a weapon. I'm trying to understand, when does being a suspicious person makes you a possible, and I do mean possible, when does it, when does a regular citizen can say, "You look suspicious, I'm going to take it on myself to apprehend you because you look suspicious"? And when has being a suspicious looking person become a felony or a misdemeanor? I mean, there's a lot of people who look suspicious for different reasons, not as a criminal or someone who would steal or anything, but suspicious can be, I mean, it really means a lot of different things. You follow me, Janet?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He looks like someone who would probably do this, someone who would probably do that.
But does it necessarily mean that you're a criminal? So with that being said, let's jump forward to where this case is now. There are three people on trial, the father, the son, and the neighbor. The lawyer for one of the defendants made a comment in court last week about clergymen being in the courthouse supporting the victims.
No. Black preachers.
I was going to get that right. He made a comment about individuals being in the courthouse supporting the family of the victim, which happened to be clergymen, preachers. Now, had he said, this could sway the jury of clergymen, no, you know what he said? Black preachers. He put an emphasis on the lady who was in the courthouse. Is this
black
racist?
Pastors. Yes.
Pastors, okay. Is this racist? I mean, when we already know this is a racial issue, we already know because these are three white men on trial for the murder of an unarmed black man, and for the lawyer for one of the defendants. Keep in mind, there are three defendants. Each one of them have their own lawyer. Think about that. Each one of them have their own lawyer, and this case is being tried at the same time. It's not a separatism of where the dad is having a separate trial, the son is having a separate trial, the witness or the guy who followed and videotaped, it's not a separate trial, it's all at one time. Mm-hmm. But for the lawyer, as you just said, say black preachers, we knew it was also, you know, racially motivated in the beginning. Do you think, Janet, that this lawyer is doing this intentionally, or is he just a bigot or ignorant to what he's saying?
He's doing it intentionally because he's saying that it's a public lynching of his client, of the black pastors that are in the courtroom. So at least I think two or three times he has asked for a mistrial because black pastors are in the courtroom and outside.
So he's done it more than
they
two or three.
They didn't think of it being a lynching when they hunted Aubrey down and shot him and he was didn't have a gun. He was just jogging. Was that a lynching?
But Janet, I got to just correct what you just said. He's done it more than two or three times. He has done this so far seven times.
Oh,
okay,
I thought it was like three or four times. So it was seven times
it has been mentioned. He had to do it. He said it in the court, in front of the court, and then he also has written documentations of his concern. So it adds up to seven times.
Every day he had a concern. Every day. He started out with a concern.
Okay, so... and I see that someone else has joined us. When they hit the number one, I'll bring them in to the conversation. So here's what I'm looking at. Once he did that, do you think that might have jeopardized the defense for the other attorneys or for the clients of the other when he brought this racial comment? Because it was racial when he said black clergymen. And then it backfired because all of a sudden there were 1,000 people there, which you mentioned to me that there was at least 300 clergymen.
300
of
pastors.
All races. Okay, mm-hmm. Pastors, clergy, of all races showed up that day. 300
mm-hmm.
showed up. Black, white, all nationalities, I guess. Because they took offense to his comment towards black clergy.
right?
So it still goes back to what I'm saying, is that where I believe that this particular defense attorney is intentionally making this a racial issue. I think he really is. And he's saying, but let me say this. He's claiming that the black clergies, like a Jesse Jackson, like a Al Sharpton, which they're sitting way back in the row. The judge even said, he saw them, but he said he didn't see any issues. There was no outburst or anything, you know, because, see, keep in mind, a court is open to the public. Many a times, which I've told you here on the show, which I've told everybody, go to a courthouse, sit and watch a case. It's open to the public. Sit and watch a court case. You will be amazed. Court TV and all that crap. I mean, well, court TV I do like because it is live. But these TV shows with these fake courtrooms and everything, these, you know, television shows, where they solve the case in one day is not reality. It's fantasy. But I go and I sit and watch court cases personally. But I'm looking at this particular defense attorney is telling people, well, by having these quote-unquote black clergy in here is going to sway the jury. Isn't he kind of like swaying the public opinion? Because, see, of course, the jury is not going to hear this. We have to remember there's certain things that the jury will not hear. They don't know about this. The judge is not going to allow them to hear this. But I guarantee you, after the case is over with, doesn't matter which way, the jury is going to hear about what he said about black juries. And also, if you look at Glenn County is majority white, but Brunswick is 60% black.
One black juror on the whole thing. One.
And he's now from what? Now, okay, correct me. I'm going to have to look it up. Is he actually a juror or an alternate?
I thought he was a juror.
He's a juror, not an alternate.
I have to look it up, but I thought he was a juror.
Okay.
Because they keep saying it's one black juror. They didn't say alternate.
Okay.
But
I have to look at
the
lawyer is doing
this because of Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson are high-profile ministers who take on cases of people who have been accused wrongfully. And so he's thinking of it as being, like he said, a public lynching of his client because of them being high profile. Even though they're not saying anything, they're just there for support of the family. The family asked, the mother asked for them to be there.
But, and I agree with you, but here's the reality of the whole thing. When you look at a Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton, okay. Now, I don't agree with everything both of them say. You know, I'd be stupid. But their causes, I think, are very much important because they come from the Martin Luther King era, right? And again, I say, I don't always agree with everything they stand by. But for them to be there in support of justice, in support of the family, it should not be something where a defense attorney should say that, well, they just support the black community and it's going to have an effect on the jury. Because that's basically what that defense attorney was saying. That these are black individuals. Now, if you have a majority white jury, how are these black clergymen or pastors are going to have an effect on a majority white jury?
He said, he claims that the trial has been infected by a mob violence by woke left by a woke left mob. There's not even a mob outside.
There's
but
no
he's,
mob.
He's saying, right, but he's saying it's a woke left mob. And that's the first time I ever heard of a woke left mob. Yeah. But he's come on with all kinds of excuses why there should be a mistrial, because he doesn't feel they're going to get because all those ministers, those pastors are out there, it's supposed to be influencing the jurors. But the jurors aren't supposed to be influenced by anything.
Okay. So let's say this. Influencing the jurors. The jurors don't even know about this. The jurors are not exposed to any of this. So what more can he say?
Didn't somebody press one, Michael? Hello? Michael. What the heck?
Okay, can you hear me? Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay,
now.
I apologize that it was dropped. Let me turn up the volume here. Okay,
I didn't
great.
Even know if I was still online. I was like, what?
Yes. That's a good thing about Blog Talk. If my phone drops, you are still online. Okay, so you're still here.
Just said stand by until Michael returns, because I didn't know whether someone could hear me or what, because it just went blank.
Yeah, unfortunately, it happened there. Unfortunately, I got a phone call. I had to answer, and I accidentally hit the wrong button because I was going to go back to the Zoom call and accidentally hung up. But guess what? Guess who's on the line? I just opened up their mic, and I appreciate them calling in on this topic. Officer Crenshaw, welcome back to the TMGS, sir.
Hello.
Officer Crenshaw.
Hey, Janet. Hey, Mike. How y'all doing?
Good. All I was wondering when Mike was going to press the one to let you in.
Well, he was sitting there, so no, he didn't wave his hand for a minute.
Yeah, I was listening, and everything y'all were saying about the attorney, you know, that's what they do. They try to outsmart the smart, and he was being very, very smart in what he was saying. It wasn't that the jury was going to be influenced by the representation. It was his word that was going to influence the jury based on what he was saying. He was being very smart. Just to make mention that these clergymen, as Michael put it, are in the courtroom, are present, to make it look more civil rights-ish by it being predominantly white jury. Well, all white, one black male. So his words were the influencing words as far as what he stated, not their presence.
I'm looking at where there's some questioning about it, because they're looking for a mistrial, and that's what you do. You throw in, a deflection or something to the judge, or throw something at the judge to make it seem like, hey, look, you know, this is some wrongdoing, this and the other. But as I said, Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, has the right to walk into any courtroom regardless of their stature. Of their status, you know, of being, you know, high profile. civil rights activists. They could walk into any courtroom.
It wasn't about them. It wasn't about them. Yes, they're high profile. It was about his words. That's why he spoke the words that he spoke. Black.
Mm-hmm.
It was his words.
Yeah. Right. Okay, I get what you're saying. He's sending a message.
How many pastors do the family have?
Right. It was a message in a code word,
right,
in a sense.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
The jury sit back there and look at her sobbing, crying. Every time she gets up and has to leave, the father has to leave. You know, they're affected by that.
Mm-hmm.
But to see prominent, high-profile pastors in the courtroom could have swayed them to where what he's saying, but it was his words.
Mm-hmm.
Because they weren't saying a word. It was his words.
Yeah. He said the trial was infected by mob violence. He said woke left mob. He's been calling black pastors. You name it, he has said it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And each time asking for a mistrial. Yeah.
But see, they're all getting ready to go down for pass because one of them supposedly asked about a plea deal.
Right.
Because they know where it's getting ready to go.
Yep. I was about to bring that up next because, right, but according to that same defense attorney, he said to the video, which I saw the video clip, that I don't know what you all talking about, but word has been out there that Roddy, what is his last name? But anyway, the one who did the videotaping, he had nothing to do with the shooting. He's the one who's supposedly trying to get a plea deal, because technically,
right,
he did not kill anybody. Let's be real. He didn't kill Ahmaud Arbery. He videotaped it. Whether he knew this was going down or not, that still has to be proven in the trial, which it hasn't been proven. But he knew the McMichaels. He knew something about this whole situation. Basically, if they were to see him or corner him, he would be willing to go ahead and follow and be the backup in a sense. But he never came with a gun. Keep that in mind. They never said that he had a gun on him. Okay.
They were also saying that Aubrey was a suspect for taking a gun out of the one who did the shooting's car. But what happened, that was a white person that he had said on Facebook, and that it was a white person that he had suspected. So how did it switch from a white to a black person? They were trying to justify the shooting.
Okay, so hold on. So you're saying that he had posted that on Facebook. If you can find that clip or that information, I'd like to go ahead and look at that because that would be interesting. But let me ask you guys this question here. We have about 15 minutes left on this show. Come this Monday, it's closing arguments. And we already talked about the Rittenhouse verdict, the arguments. I still feel like, as Timon said, that Kyle Rittenhouse should serve some kind of time for his wrongdoing in this case. I don't believe this 17-year-old at the time should be, and I mean, just being honest, should be found not guilty of anything because based on the fact that he went there for a reason. He knew he went there for something. And he did not stay to what he was supposed to do, which was protect a car lot that he did not even know the owners or anything, right? Okay.
I'm not going to go back and rehash all that. But he's responsible for his actions also. He truly is. But now he's a free man, and he's murdered two people and maimed another. In this case, what do you guys think that the outcome should be for all three? The shooter, the shooter, which is the son, the father, did not shoot, and the gentleman who
the father should be charged
with murder and you know, there's different
the
levels. Go ahead.
The father did shoot. The bullet holes that he had in him in Aubrey came from a shotgun and a pistol.
Well, no,
right.
According to the autopsy, when the medical examiner, the rounds
that struck him first and killed him. So one round the father shot, and I believe that round missed Aubrey.
Okay.
That was the one the medical examiner said missed Aubrey. First of all, he had no damn reason being in the back of a pickup truck trying to catch somebody. So you already know what it was, but based on how they were riding the horses.
But again, I say this, but what I want to say is
they're intentional. All of them should be charged exactly the same. Now, in Rittenhouse's case, if I'm not mistaken, the two people who died were white.
Yes, hold on, just a second. Right. In the Rittenhouse case, two people who died were white. And I know you came in the middle part of the show. And then there was the third person, Bicep, was obliterated, which he testified. And actually, the defense chewed him up, okay? I have to be honest. They chewed him up. But the thing is that which I mentioned earlier in the show, is that where a person said, well, here are people who were protesting the shooting of a black man, because that's where the Kenosha situation started from, right? Of a black man who was shot seven times by a police officer, okay? But he lived. Because remember the video, if you guys go back and look at the video, the young man went around to the driver's side. They say that he grabbed a knife and the officer shot him seven times. That's when the rioting, the protesting, or whatever you want to call it, caused the whole thing. The judge at that time said, we're not going to call those individuals who are dead now victims. We're going to call them protesters or rioters or whatever, going back to what Janice said, the way the judge handled certain things, she did not like. He did not allow certain evidence to come into the trial of what Kyle Rittenhouse said, something about where he wished he had his gun after the fact, when something had occurred and there was a group of folks and everything, he wished he had his gun. Like, he would have used it then. Am I right, Janet?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, but going back now to the Aubrey case, the son is the one who had the shotgun. My question is this, and you know, the video shows you the shooting to a certain extent. Some is off camera where they are tussling and everything. But my thing is this, is that where when he claims that he wants to stop him and question him, did he get out the truck with the gun? And then when they talk about the part of where Aubrey was banging on the side of the third guy, the guy who was videotaping his truck, they want to make it seem like he was trying to abduct his truck or take his truck. You ever thought about the fact that a person's in so much fear, they see someone coming down the road and they're probably banging the truck like, help me? You ever thought about that? Have that ever came into the thought process? You know what I'm saying? If I'm being chased by somebody and I see another vehicle come, automatically I'm thinking maybe they're not part of these guys, but I'm going to be like, hey, man, help me out. Get me away from these cats. These guys are crazy.
Well, that's what the prosecuting attorney was saying when she was in Michael was on the witness stand, you know, that he was probably asking for help because he was trying to get away from them. He not once said anything to them. He was just steady running away from them. And the post was, I'll read an article about the Facebook post because that happened a year prior.
But that makes common sense, though, Janet. You just said the right thing. That makes common sense because if I were in the same situation, I'm pretty sure either one of you would do the same thing. If you got two people chasing you and someone comes down the street in another vehicle not knowing that they know each other, wouldn't you try to find the best way to get away from danger?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you see in movies and shows and where folks flag down a person, hey, call the cops, hey, help me, you know. That could have been the situation. But they're trying to say that he was trying to basically hijack the driver of that truck. That's pretty much what his testimony was. Here he's trying to go after the other truck. Like he's just, I mean, just out of the blue, he's going after a person coming down the street. No, I think he was looking for help. That's my thought.
Well, anybody who has a gun pointed at them, they would try to get away. So they're running, chasing him, pointing guns at him, and the shotgun and everything, and he's supposed to, and they keep saying, I wanted to just ask him questions. No, you didn't, because you could have asked.
If you were scouting something to come back and break in later, or you were doing something wrong, as you left that area and was running down the street jogging, and you saw a truck with a white guy standing in the back of the bed with a gun, wouldn't you exit stage left or right and get the hell on?
But if you're not doing anything
wrong, you're just going to continue to run because you haven't done anything wrong and you're not thinking anything bad is going to happen to you.
Correct.
Until they try to corner him.
Right.
But then again, here's the thing. Because, see, as I watch this trial, I listen to what the defense attorney says. I listen to what people say. I listen to public opinion. Because public opinion is important. Because, unfortunately, we believe public opinion more than we believe fact. And we believe public opinion before we believe emotions. People have emotions. People respond to certain things, certain situations. You hear all the time folks say, I never thought this would happen in my neighborhood. Well, guess what? It happens in any neighborhood if opportunity arises. But now, here's where they were saying that he was seen on video camera on the property many a time.
They never showed it. Hold on, because you know what?
As they go through the deliberations, and I hope that we can all come back next Saturday because I believe that the deliberations probably won't last as long as the Rittenhour case did, which was over 20-something hours. I believe this will come back faster within 2 days. I just feel that. I felt like, I already knew they were going to find Rittenhouse not guilty. already felt that. But in this one, this is going to be kind of crazy.
Well, original was self-defense. Other than the fact that, like you said, he should have had additional charges on him as well.
But the judge dropped Right, but the judge dropped a lot of those other charges. The judge, and keep in mind, the judge was recommending the prosecuting attorney many a times. That first day or the first week, the judge was on the prosecutor like white on rice, as they say.
You knew the judge was for the defense from day one.
Right. You could tell. That had already been sketched out and schemed. You know, it was self-defense to an extent. If his ass wouldn't have been out there, if he would have been on the property he was supposed to be guarding, he wouldn't have been in the situation then.
Thank you. I said that earlier in the show. Had he, and the thing is, he didn't know the owners. The owners didn't know him. If we go back into the whole investigation and look at the whole story, is that this guy just volunteered to be, I don't know what he wanted to be, but he thought he was on an adventure. But it went further than what he expected. It went further than what he expected. He didn't expect to shoot anybody, but he did. And unfortunately, two people are dead. One is injured for life, and he's free, a 17-year-old at the time. And as I said, and I'll say again, what does that tell our young kids today? What does that tell us? Our judicial system. So now there are two people dead, one person and there's nothing anyone can do about. Of course, Janet said that they can go to civil court for damages. But two people are dead over something that should never have happened if his 17-year-old ass never went there. Why was he allowed to go 17 now? He doesn't even, I mean, he can't even buy a fucking beer. He can't even drink by law. He can't even own a gun by law in his
state.
So how can a 17-year-old cross state line and commit murder and get off? I'm trying to understand that shit.
Well, the tone
I'm
was being already
honest. I'm just being totally honest. It boggles the mind. It truly boggles the mind. And that's really sending a bad message to young kids today.
No, it's making vigilantes, but it boggles my mind that the video spoke for themselves. It showed him in the wrong. It put holes in his testimony. When he said he lost the guy he was with, he went right by the guy, and the guy was standing there talking to somebody, and he kept it moving. But he said he didn't know where the guy was. He was full of himself, and he got caught up in the moment.
Let me go ahead and make this announcement. I'm sorry, and we're going to go on for a few more minutes. For all of you that are on the internet connection is going to stop right at, I believe, 8 p.m. Eastern time. But we're going to do a few minutes overtime. If you'd like to, go ahead and call in to the show. If you have any questions or comments, I already posted your number. But we're going to go ahead and finish out an extra 5 minutes. I don't think the internet shuts down that quick.
Hold on.
No, the phone line doesn't shut down. The internet. Okay, trust me. I know. My phone lines are still open. so it shouldn't shut down.
Okay.
I know that the phone lines are open at least 5 minutes after. Okay, so with that being said, what do you think? I'm going to ask you first. What do you think the outcome is going to be in this trial for Ahmaud Arbery, guilty or not?
Guilty.
You asking me?
Yes, I said Janet Davis.
Well, I'm hoping that he's found guilty.
They're found guilty. All three of them?
All three of them.
Okay. So, Officer Crenshaw, you asked the question. You feel like all three of them will be found guilty, right? Of their role in the murder of him. Janet, what's your answer? All three of them? Because, I mean, you know, it's three individuals. Two can be found guilty. One can be found not guilty. What's your thoughts? Janet done got quiet on me. She don't want to answer the question.
She might have.
All right.
But think about it, Mike. If you're videotaping a burglary and you're not doing anything to try to stop it, just guilty. If you're videotaping a gang fight or a gang rape, you're just as guilty as the people who's committing the actual rape. If you're not doing anything to try to stop it.
I can agree with that to a certain extent, but then again, is that where if I don't have a weapon, I can't stop a person that has a weapon. You know what I'm saying?
You got a phone and you're recording. You can call 911 and let it be on recorded line.
That's true. No, you're right. You're right. But I'm curious about what the closing arguments are going to be, three sides of the defense, and see how does the prosecution handle this. I think the prosecution in this case is doing a good job. I think that the prosecution in the Rittenhouse case didn't do well. They got attacked, and they did leave themselves open for attack, all right? Because, I mean, trust me, I've been following it, and it's just been – really interesting, but this really tells us about our judicial system. You being a retired officer, you've been around for many years, you know how the system works, you've experienced the streets and everything, but I think that it's going to be something that we really need to pay attention to with cases going forward. Keep in mind of the officer who accidentally shot an individual with a gun instead of her taser. That trial is coming up soon. So that's one. And I've always said that these stories or these cases that pop up, I'm going to always follow up on. When we hear about them, we talk about them. But we got to follow up on them when they actually go to trial. And I'm committed to that. You know what I mean? To see the outcome, because that tells us about, like you said, our judicial system. What direction is it really going into? Positive, openly, transparent? Is it really transparent? Now we're seeing more officers who are committing crimes being, you know, arrested or, you know, the case may be, to see was it right or not. So, yeah, this is going to be an interesting year as we see more cases start to come to the courts and follow up to these type of things, because this really makes a difference in the community, not just in black communities of the shootings of young black folks, but white communities. And what is equal? What is justice? What really is justice for all mankind, regardless? So with that being said, hey, you guys, I want to thank you for tuning in to the TMDS. We've been on a hiatus for a month. We're back. I'm working on the live stream. I know I've been talking about it for a while, but it's coming back. It's coming up. And I want to thank Janet Davis, also Officer Crenshaw, and the one and only Mr. Tiny Ship, you know, my favorite co-host. I love you guys. And next Saturday, we're going to be back after Thanksgiving. What you got planned for Thanksgiving, Officer Crenshaw? You going to deep-fry a turkey? You going to bake one? You going to do what?
I'm going to deep-fry one and send it to the in-laws' house.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about. There you go. You know what? I got a deep fry and everything, and I was like, I need to do it. I used to do two or three, and I used to do some for friends of mine. But, man, peanut oil is high as hell. It's higher than gasoline. So I don't know. I might have to put it in the oven. But anyway, I'm just joking around. But, hey, man, thank you for tuning in and sharing your thoughts on that. We're going to get back into it next week. And maybe we'll have a verdict on the Ahmaud Arbery case. We'll be able to talk about that. Hey, everyone that's listening on the TMGS, thank you so much for your love and support. Again, to my co-hosts, I love them. All the guests that we've had this year is going to be a different year. And I want to wish you a very happy holiday season. I love you guys. I love you for your support, and you just don't know how happy it makes me feel. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. We'll talk to you next Saturday here on the Michael Gaze Show. And I guess that's it. Am I right?
That's it.
Okay. So normally what I would do, seeing it's been a month, I've almost forgot what I have to do here. Oh, I have to do a closing theme. Okay, let me find one. You know what? I'm not going to do the normal closing theme. I'm going to find one of my favorite songs. I'm scrolling right now, going through a bunch of songs, and I know that it's just killing time. And I may not find it. But either way, hey, you guys, enjoy your holidays. Be safe. You know, contact your family. That's what I want to say. Contact your family, your loved ones. You know, just say hello. And this is Saturday. We're going into Sunday. So I found this song, so I'm going to play it. Here's Alexander O'Neal and Phil. This is our Saturday Live. I'm here.
It's been a long time. I didn't ever think I was going to see it.